Just want to read one passage tonight, and that's from Luke chapter 18. That's page 1252, verse 9. And he spoke also to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and made nothing of all the rest of men. This parable: two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee, standing, prayed thus to himself: God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice in the week, I tithe everything I gain. And the tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than that other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And they brought to him also infants that he might touch them. But the disciples, when they saw it, rebuked them. But Jesus, calling them to him, said, Suffer little children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good teacher, having done what, shall I inherit eternal life? But Jesus said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, God. Thou knowest the commandments: Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these things have I kept from my youth. And when Jesus had heard this, he said to him, One thing is lacking to thee yet: sell all that thou hast, and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. But when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, How difficultly shall those who have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to enter through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, And who can be saved? But he said, The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And Peter said, Behold, we have left all things and followed thee. And he said to them, Verily I say to you, there is no one who has left home, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more at this time, and in the coming age, life eternal. And he took the 12 to him, and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written of the Son of Man by the prophets shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered up to the nations, and shall be mocked, and insulted, and spit upon. And when they have scourged him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise again. And they understood nothing of these things. This word was hidden from them, and they did not know what was said. This is part of the life of the Lord Jesus, the life of Jesus in this passage. And the reason I read it was because it speaks about a whole number of different people that have different reactions to the gospel. A few of us here were spreading the gospel in Basildon Town Centre yesterday. What a joy it was to spread the good news of Jesus to the world. What a needy world it is that we live in. What a world of brokenness, a world of sorrow and sadness, a world of need. And I thought there's quite a few different passages, different types of people that are mentioned in this passage that are the sort of people that we meet sometimes when we send out the gospel. Perhaps some of us fall into some of these categories. So verse 9, he was speaking to people that trusted in themselves. I was speaking to a man yesterday and a boy with him, and he'd basically sort of made up his own religion. He'd made up his own ideas about God and the universe and the afterlife and all sorts of other things. And I said, where did you get all that from? And I said, he said, oh, it's been revealed to me. But he didn't have any proof for any of it. He just made up his own religion. And that's really like atheists. They make up their own religion. They believe in what they want to believe in. They trusted in themselves. Maybe we're all a bit like that, first of all. We like to rely on ourselves, don't we? We like to trust ourselves. We like to think that we're going to be able to be good enough ourselves or manage on our own through life or cope with things that life throws at us. And sometimes people trust that they're good enough, don't they? You hear some people say that, I think I'm good enough for heaven. God should accept me. I've done good works. I've done enough good works for God to be pleased with me. And then you have the favourite saying that people often say, don't the good works outweigh the bad works? Surely they do. The Bible doesn't tell us anything like that at all. It tells us that our sins, our bad deeds that we've done, we've got to pay the price for them. That price has to be paid for the bad things that we've done. So that's why I thought it'd be good to look at these two people in this first passage, verses 9 to 14, two very, very different people. So two men went to the temple to pray, in other words, going to church, like equivalent to going to church that we have today. One of them was a Pharisee. In other words, he was a religious man. He had a lot of qualifications. He had a lot of knowledge. He was very pleased with himself. He felt as though he did all the right things himself outwardly. It looked like his life was okay. He looked like he was a good person on the outside. And there's many people like that today. And we maybe try to be a bit like that ourselves, don't we? We try to like to think that we look a good person on the outside. He goes up to the temple to pray. But the other one is a tax gatherer. The modern equivalent would be a lot worse than that. The modern equivalent would perhaps be someone that we can all see as a sinner, maybe like a drug dealer or someone like that. Someone who's very, very obviously a sinner. Because these tax gatherers, they swindled the money themselves. They stole money from people that was money that was supposed to go to the government, and they stole it themselves. So they were very obviously, he was very obviously a bad man. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you that I'm not like the others. I thank you that I'm good, I'm better than the others. I thank you that I'm far better than anybody else. I'm not like all these others, these other bad lot, unjust, adulterers, or all the other bad things, the bad list of sins that other people do. I'm not like that myself. And he told God all of the good things that he thought would please God, as if God didn't know already. God sees and knows everything that we do. He already knows all about us. The tax gatherer, the man who was looked down on, the man who was obviously a sinner, and realized that he needed to be forgiven. The tax gatherer that knew that he was a sinner, knew that he had done bad things, just like all of us, he said, he didn't even look up to heaven, and he said, oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner. He didn't claim to have any good works that he could offer to God. He didn't claim to be a good person, to be good enough for God. He just said, oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner. God, show mercy to me. Please give me mercy. I've done wrong. I've done a wrong thing. I've been very wrong in my life. I've got a history of bad things that I've got, just like all of us. Please show me mercy. Isn't that wonderful that we have a merciful God, a God who is prepared to show us compassion? There are many gods today in the world. Only the true God will show you compassion. True compassion and true mercy, and that's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many false religions in the world. There's no compassion or mercy in them. This is the true compassion. This is the true gospel, dear friends, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I'm going to mention later. So this man, he shows us one of the first steps about how to become a Christian. We call upon God's mercy. We ask for his forgiveness. We ask for his compassion. And we ask him to forgive us and wash us clean. And we recognize that we're sinners. Jesus says this man went down to his house justified. That man got the blessing. That man received a blessing from God. The other one didn't seem to receive anything. This man, the tax gatherer, received a blessing. So think about that. Think about how he was. Oh God, have compassion on me, the sinner. He didn't try to offer anything to God. He just asked for his mercy. He asked for his compassion. He that exalts himself, in other words, he that puts himself up on the high place, will be humbled. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted. God hates pride, doesn't he? He hates the people exalting themselves. The true Christian only wants to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus that is rightfully worthy to be exalted and to be praised and made a lot of. The world is full of people that like to exalt themselves, isn't it? That's the way the world works. The next passage is about little children. That's another group of people that the gospel goes out to. It's a great joy to have the Sunday school and to teach the young children the gospel. And next week we're going to have the prize giving, God willing, where the children will be showing us their memory verses and the readings, and they'll be showing us what they've been learning from the scriptures. What a joy it is to teach the young people, the children, the gospel. And how much Jesus cared about the young. Do not suffer little children to come, do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus said something very interesting in verse 17. I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. A little child normally should trust their parents, especially their mum. Trust their mum and dad to look after them. A little child should be trusting and should be willing to believe and trust in their parents. And that's the attitude that we are to have to come to God. We are to be as little children, to come to him, to receive and to trust that he has the right way and that he is the God of truth, and that the truth that we see in the scriptures and the way that he gives to us as the way of salvation is the true way. That's how we are to be, to come into the kingdom of God as little children. If we're proud and full of ourselves, that's difficult, isn't it? So Jesus has got a second piece of teaching there for us. That is the way which we are to approach God. And then there was an important man, a ruler. He must have been one of the chief people in the city. And he says to Jesus, having done what, shall I inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says, reminds him of the commandments. Jesus reminds him of all of the commandments. Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? There is no one good but God. Jesus is God's son, but he wasn't taking the place. He wasn't making a lot of himself at that point. But Jesus knows exactly our hearts. He knows everything about us. He knows what we love. He knows what our idols are. He knows what the things that we hold on to that we don't want to let go of. What wisdom Jesus has. When Jesus speaks to people in the scriptures, he knows what their thoughts are. He knows their thoughts. He knows everything about them. So he says something very radical to this man, doesn't he? This ruler was a very rich man. He had a lot of money. The whole world strives after money, doesn't it? Money does buy things, but people pursue it as though it's going to give them happiness. There's a lot of different things that the Bible says about money. We've been looking at them, some of them recently. And Jesus says a bit about money here. But it does say that the love of money, not money itself, the love of money is the root of every evil. But Jesus says to him, there's one thing more that I want you to do. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Jesus told the man to do that because he knew that the man's riches, the man's money, were stopping him coming to God. That doesn't mean that a Christian can't be rich. Doesn't mean that that's the same for everyone. Some Christians use their money in a good way for the kingdom. But this the riches, this man's money, was an idol to him. He was effectively worshipping it. And people do worship money today, don't they? They worship material things. They worship everything that money can buy. They worship their career. They worship all sorts of things. Anything that is more important to you than God. We can all think of many people today, or many types of people, can't we, that the most important thing for them is money and career. Jesus says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That must have really shocked this man. The things that Jesus says are very powerful, aren't they? Very powerful indeed. But he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus says, how difficultly shall those who have riches enter into the kingdom of God? That doesn't mean it's impossible, but Jesus was highlighting the problem that was stopping this man becoming a disciple. But then he says something, someone said in verse 26, and who can be saved? And Jesus says in verse 27, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. God does impossible things. God does miracles. Every single true born-again believer is a miracle. And God wants to do a miracle in your life tonight. God is able to do a miracle in your life. To turn your life round and give you a new life inside. To give you new birth, eternal life that goes on into eternity. How wonderful that is. Isn't it wonderful that nothing is impossible with God? The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. And I think verse 28 is really touching, because Peter is telling Jesus how much Jesus means to Peter. Peter is basically saying to Jesus how much he loves Jesus and how much he has decided to follow him. Peter says to Jesus, Peter used to be a fisherman. He was a fisherman. Peter says to Jesus, we have left all things and followed you. And in a sense, when we become a Christian, we leave everything and follow Jesus. That doesn't mean we leave physically all our life behind. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important person to us. We're going to see later what he did in order to be our saviour. We have left everything and followed you. Jesus is calling upon us to follow him tonight. He's calling us to follow him. He says to Matthew and he says to other disciples when he went to choose them, follow me. Isn't that amazingly powerful? Jesus says two words to Matthew when you first meet him, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. That's the power of the Son of God. That's the power of who he is. That's the power of him in all his majesty and glory. That's only possible because of who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, God manifest in flesh. That's who he is in all his majesty and glory. He by whom the worlds were made, he created the worlds. He did all the miracles to confirm who he was. He calmed the storm, he raised the dead, he healed the sick. And later on, in a moment, what Jesus did at the cross was his greatest victory. But just before we go on to that, Jesus gives a promise to those that follow him. Verse 29. There is no one who has left home or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more at this time and in the coming age life eternal. There was three teenagers that I spoke to yesterday, and one of them said, what's your favourite verse in the Bible? It was difficult to think of one straight away, but I quoted John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Jesus here is speaking about life eternal. Jesus is offering you life eternal tonight. Through faith in him, through receiving him as your Lord and Saviour, life eternal. That's an of infinite value. There's no describing how valuable life eternal is. No one can describe how wonderful it is to have eternal life. And it's only available through Jesus. So Jesus then told the 12, he gave some prophecies. There are hundreds of prophecies fulfilled in the life of Jesus that were written hundreds of years before. And Jesus now gives a prophecy himself. He says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered up to the nations. He's talking about himself. The Son of Man is going to be mocked. He tells them in verse 32, he's going to be mocked. He's going to be insulted and spit upon. How awful that is. When they have scourged him, that was whipping with a Roman whip, a brutal experience. Many people did not survive scourging. And they will kill him, but on the third day he will rise again. I was talking to this man and his son yesterday, and he had loads of theories about everything. And I just said to him, the heart of the gospel is the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have all sorts of theories about many other things, but Jesus is unique. No one else has died on a cross like him and risen again. That's the power of the gospel, dear friends. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Because the tomb is empty, and because he's at the God's right hand in heaven, in the place of majesty and glory, he is able to be our saviour. He is able to be a complete and perfect sacrifice for our sins. And through faith in his blood, we can be washed clean from everything that we've done. He will rise again the third day. They didn't understand anything that he told them at that point. But later on, when the Holy Spirit came, they understood everything. And the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of everyone that hears many that hear the gospel tonight. And the Holy Spirit can make these things real to you. The Holy Spirit can show to you that the scriptures are true and that the gospel is truly the only way to eternal life. May we be like these people in these passages that got the blessing. How wonderful to be like the tax gatherer who said, God, have compassion on me, the sinner. How wonderful to be like one of the children who would enter into the kingdom of God because they are like a little child. And how wonderful to be able, like Peter, to leave everything and follow the Lord Jesus. Through repenting before God and putting our faith and trust in what Jesus has done at the cross. The lives of these disciples was never the same again. It was changed forever. And how wonderful it is to have a changed life because of eternal life. And then, as we were reminded yesterday, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're given the protection of the Holy Spirit as we go out into the world to spread the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake.